Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming to learn about Bitachon. Today is the 13th of Iyar, Tavshin Pei Dalet, May 21st. I want to wish happy birthday to my son Mordechai. And also tomorrow is my father-in-law's birthday, Mr. Zemel. Happy birthday, Av and Ima. Many years of nachas and good health. And on that note, before we continue with what we were doing last time, which is discussing our bitachon that Hashem will allow us to experience Olam Haba, actually Yemos HaMashiach. Today we'll talk about Olam Haba, which is after Yemos HaMashiach. I just wanted to share one thought that came to me this week, because as we know, there are times of turbulence in life, and at the very beginning, we learned about the fact that Iyov, who is the prototype sufferer, and according to the Gemara Bava Basra, one opinion is that Iyov never existed as a person. He was a mashal. And as my Rosh Hashiva Rabbi Wine explained it to us when we learned Iyov, he is the example of every person who suffers. And unfortunately, or fortunately in the long run, but we do face challenges and some types of suffering and discomfort in life. Well, in explaining Iyov's experiences, as you've heard before, if you've been with us, the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, who looks at that Gemara of Basra and the multiple opinions, who was Iyov and when did he live? When the Rambam looks at that and says, it makes a lot of sense to say that he is just a mashal. He is the template, the prototype for every person. And even Yaakov Avinu is compared to Iyov by Tosfos, with the amount of suffering and the various challenges, one after another, often simultaneous, chavilos, bundles of difficulties and challenges. The Rambam summarized Iyov's difficulties, his tzoros, and he said that they have to do with health and parnasa, which is livelihood, and also children, relationships. It occurred to me that one time I was at a Purim Suda, and there was a Rav there, the Rav of Knesset Israel, Rabbi Yaakov Lustig, Zichrono Livracha. And I asked him for a bracha. As we know, we exchange brachos many times, especially on Purim when we're in high spirits. And I said to him, can the Rav please give me a bracha? And he said, you should only be asking for parnasa and gesund. Parnasa and gesund. You should have enough money and should be healthy. And that meant a lot to me, because if you have that, you have everything. But wait a minute. Didn't the Rambam explain that Iyov's challenges were actually of a third type as well? It had to do with children and relationship problems. So I was thinking about this, and I realized that this bracha that Rabbi Yaakov Lustig told me was definitely based on much earlier attitudes of how to give someone a bracha. And it must be that those two, if a person can look at himself and say, I am alive and hopefully healthy, hopefully mentally and physically. Also, I have enough money. But the third part may be not be going so well, but maybe that's not the primary of the three. Because the truth is, if you think about it, that is the only one that is directly dependent on other human beings. And we know that we cannot control other human beings, especially we cannot totally control, or at all control in many cases, how they act toward us. So I just wanted to share with you a thought I had this week, because I did feel that I was in a bunch of turbulence. And then I said to myself, Parnasa and Gesund, and Baruch Hashem. And then the other situations, and we learned earlier in the Aruch HaTzaddikim, we have to put that on Hashem. We have to put all those three on Hashem. But especially that one, that might be even more out of our reach. We do the best we can, and also more of a daunting task, to clean up all those loose ends with relationships, with our family members and with friends that seem to have rough edges and challenges and conflict. So that one could really disturb us, could really derail us, but it might not be the one that is in our reach comparatively to the others, meaning to a achieve perfection in peace of mind in that area. So maybe we should not prioritize that. That's just the thought I wanted to share. Perhaps that's why I got the bracha, and he was a great person giving it from, he also was Meshamesh Rabbi Silver's Zichrono Livracha. And also that goes back generations. The thing to always remember though, when it comes to brachos, we ask people for a bracha. What does the Ramban say in Parshas Vizos HaBracha? It says, Vizos HaBracha. Ramban quotes for us Chazal. It says, Vizos HaBracha. Vizos HaTorah. It also says, Vizos. Zos means this. It's something I can point to. That's absolute reality. So the Ramban tells us when it says, Vizos HaBracha, it's like a Gzeirah Shavah. Same word that it says in the other place, Vizos HaTorah. And it says also in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov Avinu gave the brachos, the Ramban tells us, he brings from Chazal, where Yaakov left off, Moshe Rabbeinu took over, Yaakov gave brachos to all the progenitors of the Shvatim. And then Moshe Rabbeinu continued with the whole Shevet in the last year of his life, the last day of his life. In giving those brachos, he said the bombshell, and that is the Zos HaBracha, the Torah, which is the Zos HaTorah, which is the absolute reality, that is the bracha. So the truth is that bracha is inside every one of us without even necessarily getting a bracha from someone. Without having somebody pronounce for us a bracha, which is a tefillah, we can really tap into our inner reservoir of blessed material, which is Yisrael be'araisa v'kutcha b'richu chadu. We're all one with Hashem and with the Torah. B'zos ha-bracha. The bracha is Torah, because b'zos ha-Torah is b'zos ha-bracha. If we can be clinging always to Torah, united with Torah, married to Torah, then we really are absolutely clinging to bracha, to the absolute blessing. And that's a little word about brachos. Speaking of brachos, we have the bracha to look forward to, which is Mashiach coming. And that's what the Aruch HaTzaddikim is telling us, that we need to, we have a right to, have bitachon, that this will happen in our lifetime. And we were analyzing it last time. And finishing up that topic, the Aruch HaTzaddikim tells us, what is it that we want from Yemos HaMashiach? Why do I want Mashiach to come? Especially if you ask somebody who's relatively tranquil and content with what's going on in his or her life, well, why do I want Mashiach to come? It should change so drastically? Yep, we ultimately want it to change. Bechula, all people, says the Aruch HaTzaddikim, Ketanim u'gedolim, whether small or large, young or old, Yedu es Hashem, everyone will know Hashem. They'll all be familiar with Hashem. That is the ultimate existence of how the world is supposed to be, which is not how it is now. And there will not be any impediment, any hindrance. There will not be any obstacle to serving Hashem. Lo deber, there won't be any pestilence. Now let's stop for a minute. I'm going to stop myself. These are the situations that we're supposed to have bitachon in every single day and every moment that Hashem will save us from, but they won't be there in the future. So we won't have to activate and employ special bitachon that we should be saved from these crises, because these crises won't exist. Well, that makes things a little bit easier, a little bit less mental and emotional muscle power will be needed, maybe a lot less, because we won't have these types of distractions that are so prevalent now and so rampant. Lo dever, no pestilence, epidemic, pandemic, no disease, below rav. This is after Mashiach comes, not immediately, by the way. It develops as the time period goes on, as the Gemara explains, the Rambam explains, no hunger, only hunger to know the word of Hashem, as you know the pasuk. Below milchama, there won't be any war, no more conflict after Mashiach comes. Below tirda, no distractions. There are so many distractions. There are mental, there are emotional, there are external, there's internal. So hard to concentrate, maybe more than ever. Ach kulam yihyu fenuyim. The Aruch HaTzaddikim says, everybody will be free. Their minds will be clear. The kulam yasigu, and all of them will attain and reach Saga Gedola, a great comprehension and attainment, in the knowledge of a blessed creator. That is an accomplishment par excellence for humankind. And knowledge will increase at that time, will be predominant. What is Das? We know there are all different types of wisdom. We've talked about there's Chachma, there's Bina, there's Das, there's Seichel. We know that one shot in Das is the ability to distinguish between what's proper and what is improper to do, like the Eitz Hadas. Well, Hirbeh Hadas. At that time, there will be an abundance of this type of cognitive power, this understanding. As it says, and you know the pasuk in Yeshaya, Yoral test, Imala Ha'aretz Deo Es Hashem, because the land will have been filled with knowledge of Hashem, Hamayim Ayom Mechasim, the way that water covers the sea. So that's the end of the paragraph about having bitachon, that Hashem will bring Mashiach in our lifetimes. So what I do is I have to shift my focus. All those things that feel comfortable, I'm allowed to be comfortable with those things temporarily in this existence. Years ago, when we wrote the Dvar Torah and put on the internet for Ritz High School and KI, Knesset Israel, we discussed feeling settled and feeling tranquil and serene in Gullus. Well, that was about building beautiful shuls and yeshivas. And it was determined, and the conclusion was reached based on solid sources, that it's okay while people are in Gullus to beautify mitzvos, even buildings. He's not at the front of a mitzvah. We know it says in Oz Yoshir, Zekeli V'anvehu. This is my God, V'anvehu. So we know one explanation is, I'll make him a nave, I'll build him a base of mikdash. But another pshat is, as the Gemara says, he's not a lefana of mitzvos. Beautify the mitzvos, adorn the mitzvos, make them exquisite. And that's even okay in Gullus, to build beautiful buildings, but to realize they'll be transported to Yerushalayim after Mashiach comes, as Chazal tell us. It's in writing. So that's the bitachon that Hashem is going to bring the Mashiach in our lifetime. Habitachon Hashmini. And now we're moving to the next level. The eighth type of bitachon. Al inyan olam haba. It has to do with the world to come. I need to have trust in Hashem that I will have a place in olam haba. And now we have a fork in the road. What is this olam haba that the Aruch HaTzadikim is talking about? Is he referring to the future stage of the world after Mashiach comes, which is also known as Techiyas HaMesim? As I told you last week, blended summary is found in the Siddur Otzrat Tfilos at Shabbos Mincha, where he explains the three future time periods. Tiferes Gidulah, that's when Mashiach comes. Ateres Yeshua, a crown of salvation, that's the second future time period of Olam Haba / Tfiyas HaMesim. Yom Menucha U'Kedusha L'Amcha Nasata, that's going to be the last one, which is the days of the seventh millennium. So the Olam Haba that the Aruch HaTzadikim is talking about, is he referring now to that second future time period known as Olam Haba? Or is he referring to what we call Gan Eden, which is the afterlife after 120 years? I won't leave you hanging. The answer becomes very apparent. I underline three phrases in the Aruch HaTzadikim that show that he is referring to Gan Eden, not to this world in its future time period, but to the afterlife after a person's neshama leaves his body, after his existence in this world. And apparently, bitachon is needed that I will have a portion there. Not just like the paragraph before, that I will see Mashiach come and witness the Beit HaMikdash being built, and that I won't use up my reward in this world if things go smoothly, which hopefully they do as much as possible so I can serve Hashem. That's the topic we just finished. The new topic is that after Ne'o Ba'esrim, after leaving this world, I also will have a portion in Gan Eden. It's the afterlife, after our soul departs. As he explains now, Asher bo ne'imos le'en ketz ve'en cheker. I do want to mention, though, that if you look in Masechah Sanhedrin, where it says, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek lo'olam haba, which is the very beginning of the 11th parak of the Gemara Sanhedrin. Now, in the Mishnah, it's the 10th parak, but in the Gemara, it's listed as the 11th. It's called Parak Chelek. And it says, all of Bnei Yisrael have a portion in the Olam Haba, except for the notable, not very many exceptions. There does a Machlokas Rishonim about what is that Mishnah referring to? That Sugya, is it referring to this world in the second future time period? Or is it referring to the afterlife? The Aruch HaTzadikim here is talking about the afterlife. And he tells us, Asher bo ne'imos le'ein keitz v'ein cheker. There is pleasantness. There is enjoyment. There's gratification to no end and no research, limitless and infinite. When we talk about this in school sometimes, usually one or two or more people raise their hand and say, isn't that going to be boring? So we have to realize that boring is a function of a physical existence, as we're going to learn. when we talk about eternity, which we can't talk about with total understanding because we are encased inside a physical body, which is finite, but when we do discuss eternity and infinity, we have to realize there is no boredom. It's just absolute gratification of a neshama, which is something that you can't actually fathom if we're a human being in this state. As the Orach HaTzaddikim says, the mouth is unable to even tell about the beauty of that world. It's indescribable. And the eye is not able to see the radiance of the shining, the beauty of the righteous people. No eating and no drinking there, because the neshama is not together with the body. And if so, what pleasure is there in that existence? Therefore, the Orach HaTzaddikim tells us, just like the bird who's flying high does not know about, he's not familiar with whatever gives enjoyment to a fish, hashtak b'mayim, which is swimming in the water, ki hatolados shalahem, and hipuch zomizo. Their existence, they're absolutely antithetical to each other. They're opposite. Ki ha'ov yamus b'mayim. The bird will die in water. The hadog yamus b'yabasha. And the fish will die on dry land. So just like that is true, Kach Misha Hu Ba'olam Hazeh, whoever is in this world, Haneshama Me'orebes Ba'guf, the soul is mixed into, it's combined in that body. Lo Yuchal Vadas Tanuk Haneshamos. And therefore the person will be unable to know and to understand that euphoria, that feeling of bliss of Haneshama that's purely Haneshama. As long as we're inside of a body, we only have bodily pleasures. A pleasure from the lofty, otherworldly pleasures and enjoyments. We will not be able to grasp or attain what they're about. We will not be able to recognize them. Unless we engage in a lot of thought, if we think hard, we can visualize and we can go ahead and conceptualize what an eternal, what an infinite enjoyment is. It's intangible. In case anybody joined us in progress and they think, hey, I think I tuned into the wrong bitachon vad or the wrong vad, this is about bitachon, because the Orach HaTzaddikim is telling us part of our bitachon in Hashem is to trust that we will be zocha to this. Now you might say, what does it help me right now that I have this bitachon in Hashem? Let's get practical. Is my day going to be any better because of this? Yeah, it will be. I'll tell you why. Because no matter what happens, anything that comes my way, if I have mud slung at me, I know that I'm not here forever. I'm going to make the best of it. And I'm going to also be besimcha. I'm going to smile and I'm going to be productive. But there are some times that are just simply very challenging. But I know that this is the stopping point. And that's why this is important, bitachon. This is what can see me through. Once in a while, I should remember that this is not what we were made to be in forever. As the Maseilas Yesharim tells us, all the Sfarim tell us. This is a stopover. If I know that, if I have it in perspective, if a person's going to a destination and has a stopover flight, and things aren't perfect there, and the person says, but I know the situation in my final destination. I know that it is in order there. If we could know such a thing in this world, as just as a muscle, that's what we have to apply here. I know that Hashem has everything planned. He has a set table for us. So then that, if not by itself, but together with other thoughts, can see me through all that I am suffering through and seeing us challenges each day. So it is important. It is something. It has substance to it. It's practical. It's useful to help me with bitachon. Because if it was just Olam Hazeh, it would simply not make sense. It wouldn't be fair. And we know that Hashem is loving and fair. That's why we know it's just a stopping point. But why don't we really fathom those blissful experiences of the spiritual realm? Why can't we do that? That's because we are in this world of bodies. We are limited. What gives us a lot of pleasure and gratification are enjoyments that are finite. They are just transient. They're temporary. Ovdim. They're temporary. Poskim, they stop. They're finite. They're limited. Avot Tanuge Hanashama, the soulful enjoyments and pleasure, Hem Tamid Beli Hefsek. They are constant and they never ever end at all. That's a concept that is almost impossible to conceptualize and to think about. However, we can talk about it and we can make sense out of it. The Ein Bein Osam HaTanugim Bein Elam HaTanugim Chibur V'Shituf. Between those pleasures, which is of Olam Haba, which are all spiritual, which are intangible, and the pleasures we have in this world, which are all finite, which are all limited, which are all physical and material, there is no attachment, relationship, below Kurva B'Shum Inyan. There's no association whatsoever between them. That's a pretty powerful statement. You cannot even compare spiritual pleasure and bliss and satisfaction with physical pleasure and bliss and satisfaction. Umisha yiske lamalahahi achre moso. As you see, he's talking about the afterlife. Whoever will merit that level, that attainment, that privilege after his death, after he leaves this world, lo yehav eloha tanugim. He will have no love. He will have no affection for physical pleasures. Kasher lo yehav hamelech lachlots me olav yikor tifarto. Just like a king, just like a head of state, will not cherish the opportunity to throw off his royal garments, yikor tifarto, the preciousness of his glory, of his kingship, his aristocracy, belischok bachutzos im hanor, and to play outside with the kids. Imagine if the president, in the middle of a state dinner, whatever, says, okay, folks, I'm going out to play baseball now. There's some guys out there. Yeah, some junior high school kids. I'm going to go play baseball right now. I'll see you later. He takes his suit off, puts on a baseball uniform. He's out the door in the middle of the state dinner. It's not what a president or head of state would do. Amen. But sometimes, says the Aruch HaTzadikim, Yigeh Shehamelech Katan Bashtanim. Sometimes the king or the head of state is actually very young, a bit immature. We don't see that in the United States, hopefully. Besigbar olav shtus haketanim. And then the foolishness of children, which is supposed to be their state of being when they're children, it will overpower him. And he'll suddenly have this desire to go out and play. Beyischakim anharim, he'll go out and play with the youngster. Beyaniach yikar hamalchus. He will, for a few minutes or hours, whatever it is, or a day, he'll just leave the palace and all that nobility. And all that power that he usually has, the aristocracy, he'll just leave it alone and he'll run out of the palace. That's because he still hasn't matured. So he doesn't have the ability, to distinguish between the two different paths. So the Aruch HaTzadikim tells us, our neshama is like that melech. It's spiritually aristocratic. It's from nobility. It's a neshama tahora. When we are here and we favor physical pleasures, especially if those detract from our spiritual performance, we have to engage in physical activities, but we're supposed to use it l'shem shamayim. But if a person does throw off his spiritual nobility and prefers physical and material endeavors and pursuits that take him away, if they take him away from Hashem, that's machmas chestro datenu umiut hakarasenu olam hanashamas kasanugo. That's because we don't recognize and appreciate, we can't fully recognize and appreciate anyway, the world of the neshamos, the spiritual world, and also spiritual pursuits as being what we're supposed to really do. Of olam hazeh. So the question is, can we get a taste of Olam Haba when we're in this world? Now, as you know, the Gemara Bracha says that the Chachamim would give brachas to each other when they would depart from each other. And one of them said to the other one, Olamcha tira b'chayecha. And there's a machlokas Rishonim, what that Gemara means. The last time around in the Vad, or the time before, actually, there was only one last time, because this is time number two. By the way, station identification, Baruch Hashem, Le'en Hara, we're on number 97 now from the beginning. Well, anyway, we mentioned that one of the Rishonim explains that Gemara to mean that he was giving him a bracha, that he should have a taste of Olam Haba in this world, in Olam Hazeh. Now, what kind of bracha is that? If a person can get a glimpse, can get a sampling of pure, unadulterated spirituality, spiritual, emotional bliss, that is the greatest bracha the person could experience, because that person has transcended the physical and has gone beyond. So the Aruch HaTzaddikim says, we can also do that. And we do that at times because we experience emotional and spiritual pleasure and gratification and enjoyment. You can sometimes experience and recognize a little bit of soulful pleasure and enjoyment without eating and drinking. Well, what are some of these intangible, gratifying experiences that we have, which, by the way, give us a glimpse into the Olam HaNashamas, which is what we're talking about today? People will get revenge from their enemies. We're not saying you're allowed to take revenge. It says, lo sikum v'lo sitor. When Klal Yisrael takes revenge from their enemies, when Hashem tells us we're supposed to, because they're Hashem's enemies, we do it as a nation. We're not getting into the halachic legality of taking revenge. We're describing that otherworldly feeling and the gratification and the satisfaction of having taken revenge, whether it was allowed or not. It's a reality that gives the person, as the Maseiros Yesharim says, it's sweet, like honey, sweeter than honey. That is not a physical pleasure. That's an emotional one. That shows us there's something more than the body. And that's what we look forward to. We could go in hakavod. Again, something that could be detrimental or could be gainful for our spiritual growth. We're not examining that right now. We're talking about the definition of a spiritual, intangible pleasure. Honor, when a person is honored or respected, when they honor people. As the Chafetz Chaim said, he says, kavod is an otherworldly pleasure. That's why the Maseiros Yesharim says it's such a powerful taiva that people have. But that is something that is not physical. There are other examples as well, which we're going to continue with next time, Emir Sashem. But what did we learn today? What we learned today was that we are allowed to and need to have bitachon, that not only were we going to be zocha to see Mashiach in our lifetime, but that we're zocha into the afterlife, to after living in this world. And Emir Sashem, fulfilling our tafkid, there's something more than Olam Hazeh. There's something above and beyond. There's something that transcends. There's something that's a different realm. It's all ruchni. It's all spiritual. And we should live many, many years. And everyone should have Torah and Yiras Shemayim, fulfill our tafkid, and have all the different types of bitachon. Hashem should help us to master them. Mir Hashem will continue next week with this same discussion. Have a wonderful week. Thank you.